What a blessing and privilege it is to come together with children of God to worship the great I Am. Appreciate the fact that you're here. Encourage you to get your Bible in hand, to open its pages and search the Scriptures along with us. Feel free to take whatever notes you might like, that you might have the benefit of your study for further reference. I'm asking the question in our study this morning, what's more important? And as a basis for this study, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, where Jesus asked two questions. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Life is about choices. Often we have to choose between one thing and another. We can't have or do both. And thus we are left to ask ourselves, what's more important? In Joshua 24 and in verse 15, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," what's the rest of that? "We will serve the Lord." In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, it was Elijah who appealed to the people of the Lord. "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And so we ask the question in regard to lots of different things today. What's more important? First of all, the whole world or your soul. What's more important? That comes from the text with which we started in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. When Jesus asked, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Suppose that it was possible for you to have the whole world, but that was at the exchange of your soul. What would be more important? Is the whole world more important than your soul, or is your soul more important than the whole world? We can't begin to wrap our mind around the whole world, can we? And yet your soul, something that is within your possession, is more important than the whole world. The Bible emphasizes that the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. And so the whole world has an end. But when this whole world is brought to an end, your soul will live on and on and on. In fact, we sing a song entitled, "I'll Live On," as the soul will reside, world without end, eternity, somewhere. And so what's more important, the whole world or your own soul? We sang the song, "This World Is Not My Home." And beneath the heading was Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Where Jesus taught, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The things that some pursue, you'd think that the whole world is more important than one soul. What's more important? Secondly, when it comes to pottage or birthright, back in the book of Genesis chapter 25, what's more important? You remember the story of Jacob and Esau? How that these twins came out of Rebekah's womb, and the boys grew, Esau a cunning hunter, a man of the field, Jacob a plain man dwelling in tents. And Genesis 25 and verse 29 reports, "Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?'" And so he had to make a choice: birthright or pottage. Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus the Bible says Esau despised his birthright. That is, he thought little of his birthright. He thought more of that pottage of lentils than he did of his birthright. The birthright was of tremendous value. It meant being head of the family, possession of the bulk of the property, and the covenant blessing. But he exchanged all of that for pottage. He is reported in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 16 as a profane person who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And it is said, you know how that afterward when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so try to put yourself back in the place of Jacob and Esau. What's more important, pottage or birthright? And as that birthright was more important and valuable than pottage, so it is today. And there are those who sometimes would exchange their birthright for pottage. There are those who trade things of great value for things of lesser worth. But as you entertain this question, what's more important, life in this world or life eternal? In John chapter 12 and verse 25, notice Jesus said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." I see a difference in this passage. I see a choice between two: life in this world and life eternal. Is our emphasis on this world? Is that what consumes us, life in this world? Or do we think more about life eternal? It's easy for us to get caught up in and all wrapped up in life in this world and forget about life eternal. To even exchange life eternal for life in this world. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 14, when the Lord told the parable of the sower and talked about that which fell among thorns, he said, "Are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection?" You see, life in this world with its cares and riches and pleasures sometimes cause people to lose sight of life eternal. And so what's more important, life in this world or life eternal? Another question, what's more important, riches or eternal life? Notice in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18, that a certain ruler asked the Lord, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He came to the right person. He asked the greatest question that could be asked. His concern, his interest is in having eternal life. And the Lord answered him by referring him to the commandments that were operative at the time. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." He must have been a good moral person, even as a young person. Not very many young people today could say that what he did. But the Lord, when he heard these things, said in verse 22, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Is it possible the Lord might say that to us? We think we've done all these things, and yet the Lord say, "You lack one thing." What was he lacking? The Lord instructed him, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." What was his reaction to that? How would we have responded if we had been this individual? When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. And so he had a choice. What's more important, his earthly riches or eternal life? When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God? Would you exchange eternal life for earthly riches? What's more important? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, Paul penned, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life." Yet there are those who would trade laying hold on eternal life for earthly riches. They'd rather hold on to their riches than have eternal life. And so what's more important? Riches of this world or eternal life? Again, I ask, what's more important? Family or the Lord? Now, don't misunderstand, family is important. It ought to be important to each one of us. In fact, the Bible teaches the importance of family in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. When Paul talked about Ephesian husbands loving their wives as themselves and as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and to the wives to submit and to reverence her husband, and he talked about children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother, and he said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He said, and your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, yes, family is important. But what's more important? Family or the Lord? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, Jesus taught, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so this shows that our love for the Lord is to exceed the love that we have for our family. I was reminded of John F. Kennedy, who, running for president, said that his religion was part of his family heritage and he could no more give up Roman Catholicism than he could his Irish ancestry. And so there are those who think that they can't give up the family religion for what the Bible teaches. They want to hold on to that because that heritage, that ancestry means more to them. And there are those who will not become members of the body of Christ, who are not faithful Christians this day, because they love family more. Family is more important to them. And faithfulness to the family religion means more to them than being a faithful child of God. You know, Paul had to make a change in his religion. He was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers. And he talked about that in his letter to the Galatians in chapter 1 when he said in verse 14, "Profited in the Jews' religion, above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." But I tell you something that meant more to Paul than the traditions of his fathers, than profiting in the Jews' religion. And that was Jesus Christ. When Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, you know, he said in Galatians chapter 1 and in verses 15 and 16 that when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go back to his fathers and say, "Now what do you think about this? You think I ought to do this or not?" No, he became a child of God. He became a Christian. He left his father's religion and straightway preached Christ in the synagogue. And so what's more important? Is it being a genuine Christian, a child of God? Or your family heritage? What's more important? Jesus taught that to love father, mother, son, or daughter more than him is to not be worthy of him. But another question I ask in connection with this, what's more important? Pleasures of sin or being with the people of God? Moses is a great inspiration to me, and I hope that he will be to you. From the book of Hebrews chapter 11, when the writer talks about Moses and the faith of Moses, from verses 23 through 26, how that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, there's a time in our lives when some choices are made for us, and then there comes a time when we make our own choices. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's the kind of choice that I need to make. That's the kind of choice that we want you to make as well. He could have chosen to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have chosen to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He could have chosen for him the treasures in Egypt. He had a choice to make, didn't he? But what's more important? Being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Enjoying the pleasures of sin and riches in Egypt? Or being with the people of God? What's more important? Moses knew what was more important. And he exchanged those Egyptian treasures and the esteem that would have been involved in being referred to as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And whatever pleasure sin might have brought, he exchanged all of that for being with the people of God. And he chose that even if it meant suffering affliction. Notice Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. What's more important? Being with the people of God or the pleasures of sin? Notice he mentioned the pleasures of sin for a season. That means they're for a limited time. Yes, there is some pleasure in sin. If there was no pleasure in sin, then nobody would be involved in sin. But he realized that it's short-lived, it's temporary. But being with the people of God is forever. And so what's more important? Some, as Paul said in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 4, are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's misplaced love, misplaced affection, to love pleasure more than God. What's more important? But also, what's more important, praise of men or the praise of God? In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we read of those who would not confess Jesus. It is said, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What's more important? The praise of men or the praise of God? There's some that the praise of men means more to them. That's what they seek, the glory of men, rather than God's praise. That's reflected in the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, when he said in verse 1 beginning, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, that is your charitable deeds or good works, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And so do you sound a trumpet to receive the praise of men, for men to applaud what you've done, or do you wait for the Father's reward? What's more important? The whole world or your soul? Pottage or birthright? Life in this world or life eternal? Riches or eternal life? Family or the Lord? Pleasures of sin for being with the people of God? Praise of men or the praise of God? You see, often there'll be times in life when we have to make a decision. Are we going to do this or do that? We're going to have this or have that? And I hope that the study before us today will help us in putting first things first, remembering what's important. As we heard read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14 a moment ago, fearing God and keeping His commandments is what's important. For that's the whole duty of man. It's not going to make any difference as to what we might have in this world or the pleasures and the cares and the riches of this life. Whether men thought well of us or not, the thing that's going to make the difference is whether we fear God and keep His commandments. As the writer said, this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Sometimes we make things important that really are not. And things that are important, we kind of shift them to secondary. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19, Paul helped the Corinthians to realize what's important. He said, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. One translation says, the keeping of the commandments of God is what matters. That's what's important. And may we always remember what's important and put first things first. As Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Appreciate the kind way that you've listened, and may God help us to learn and appreciate what's more important. Possible that you're not a child of God, and we would invite you to come to Jesus, believing with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, to confess your faith in the Son of God, to be baptized into Christ. Maybe you've done that, but you've not been faithful as a Christian. You've not been reflecting in your life what's important. You put lesser things ahead of the things that ought to be first and primary. And you need to make proper correction of that. If we can assist you in that, why not take care of that now while we stand and sing the song?